Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. On today's show, there are plenty of jobs available in one industry here in Michigan, but they're not being filled. In fact, officials say that there's a labor shortage. We'll talk about what industry that is and why the shortage exists. And then all the things you've heard about the Postal Service being financially unsustainable and that mass layoffs and post office closings are unavoidable are not true. And that's according to postal workers rallying at the state capitol this afternoon. I'll talk to one to get the details. But first, 22 other states have done it, and is it time for Michigan to join them? It's called Right to Work, a movement to make union membership and the payment of dues an optional choice rather than mandatory for unionized jobs. Labor leaders are vehemently opposed to the legislation, which is now being considered by lawmakers. To get some perspective from a Right to Work advocate, I'm joined by Republican State Representative Mike Shirkey. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Now, Governor Snyder has said that right to work is not on his agenda and it's not a priority. There are more important things to focus on at this point. Why do you think the governor is not particularly enthusiastic about right to work?
Well, Mike, I think that we should be very proud of our governor and the kind of heavy and difficult reforms and changes he's already made and led in this state. I don't think we should count on the governor to necessarily take the tough issues, 100% of them, and I think he's willing to allow the House and the Senate to, you know, pick up the slack and carry the water on some other tough issues and reforms, and this might be one of them.
Now, the labor-backed Economic Policy Institute released an analysis suggesting that workers in right-to-work states are paid less and are less likely to have employer-provided health insurance. If that is the case, why shouldn't unionized workers be alarmed by right-to-work?
Labor freedom is not about outlawing or anti-union. It's where unions are as free to make their case as workers are to make their choice. This is nothing about, at least from my perspective anyway, nothing about making it difficult or anti-union. And so that data that's suggested is frankly old data, and there is plenty of data to suggest that of the 22 states that are currently labor freedom states, two-thirds of them have higher average per capita income than what Michigan enjoys today.
But jobs that are now being held by unionized workers, aren't they likely, even though we may see more jobs, aren't we likely to see a drop in those jobs and the income that those people make if right to work is instituted and dues become optional?
No, based on the data that I just suggested to you, Mike, that's just the opposite occurring. Listen, there was a time, and I stipulate to this, when 20 years ago or more, some of the labor freedom right to work states did have lower wage rates. But I'm a firm believer in the laws of supply and demand and free markets. And as jobs and people have migrated to those areas, the laws in supply and demand have taken place and their wages have expanded, their benefits are expanding. And quite frankly, Mike, what's not normally regularly reported is that the only states that have had any measurable union increase in membership have been labor freedom states.
Well, give me a sense of the dynamic. If a company is dealing with a non-unionized workforce, why would it be motivated to pay them more than if they're unionized and are able to negotiate the wages?
Well, one of the most unstated metrics that we all need to be aware of going forward, particularly since we aren't reproducing fast enough in this country, is that labor is going to become a more and more scarce commodity. And I'm already feeling it in my business. It's a tool and die engineering business where right now it's difficult to find experienced and trained, high-trained quality machinists. And so there's already some inflation pressures going in my industry, in my territory, in my business, and there's no union involved.
When you see right-to-work states competing with Michigan for jobs, and they are offering sometimes cheaper labor costs because they are right-to-work, isn't this going to lead to a reduction in the standard of living for workers as states compete to offer, which would make sense? They do want to offer lower labor costs, don't they?
The cost of living in many of the labor freedom states is less than some of the states that are compulsory union states. The cost of living. But that doesn't necessarily equate to standard of living.
Now, when you talk about wages going up in right-to-work states, I mean, isn't part of the attraction for a company going into a right-to-work state that they can actually pay less? I mean, isn't that part of the deal that they can actually make more of a profit in a right-to-work state?
No, not at all, Mike. In fact, what's often not seen is that part of the protections that government has provided historically since the Wagner Act and the Taft-Hartley Act have been related directly to unions, and those translate into labor overregulation. And so it isn't just wages. It's work rules and restrictions on how to conduct business. And it's that burden. It's that burden that causes many companies to not necessarily want to associate with unions. So it's not just a wage issue. In fact, the matter is, based on what I said a moment ago, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that the wage discrepancy is leveled out and maybe even swinging in favor of labor freedom states.
I'm talking to Republican State Representative Mike Shirkey. Mike, aren't the majority of jobs in Michigan non-unionized? Why do you view the right-to-work issue as being a key part in lowering our unemployment rate?
Because right now, you can talk to most of the companies that have contemplated moving into Michigan in the last 10 years, and every one of them would list whether the compulsory unionism of Michigan as one of the top three issues that they contemplate. All I want to do, quite frankly, you're right. There's a smaller and smaller percentage of the total workforce that are in organized labor in Michigan. I want to remove the objection. I want to take it off the checklist. I want unions to survive. I want unions to thrive. And for them to thrive and for Michigan to thrive, we both need the exact same thing, and that's more jobs. And so we should all be willing to look at and work toward figuring out ways to remove all objections. And this is one of those checklist things. Let's just get it off the checklist. And I think it would. The most recent example I can give you is Boeing seriously considered the Willow Run plant for their, for their expansion of the Dreamliner. And of course, we all know that they decided to go to South Carolina, and they've admitted many times that one of the considerations was the fact that Michigan's a compulsory union state.
You know, one of the realities of being a non-unionized corporate worker is that there is essentially no job security. We see thousands of layoffs annually, even when companies are comfortably profitable. Isn't this likely to be part of what employees will experience, or just, unionized workers that would now be kind of in the free market, in a sense? Wouldn't they be risking this type of environment under right to work?
Well, Mike, I could only cite, you can take a look at the history here in Michigan, but we've had, hundreds of thousands of layoffs in union plants. And so I don't think non-union plants have a corner on that market.
Well, that is true. Now, Michigan is one of the leading states when it comes to the U.S. labor history. Many believe unions gave workers a chance to enjoy a middle-class lifestyle. Do you agree that unions did, in fact, play that role for workers in Michigan and nationwide?
I agree that there was a point in history when management and companies did take advantage of their workforce, and I think unions played a great role then, but because the growing increase in elevating the importance of labor and the importance of skilled labor and the importance of enthused and engaged employees, unions have, in my mind, have chosen to go down a different. Not all. Please don't let me paint them all this way, but. Many have chosen to go down a road where it's not necessarily complementary to and aligned with the interest of both the company and, frankly, the workers. However, Mike, I will tell you this. There are a number of examples in Michigan where unions have been a key part of the survival and thriving of companies because they have engaged and become part of the solutions. So, mm-hmm. Again, I just continue to emphasize, labor freedom is where unions are as free to make their case as workers are to make their choice. And when we impart that kind of free market influence on the behavior of unions, they'll even get better. They'll refine their messages and they'll refine their delivery of value to the workers because they want to survive and they want to thrive. And in that case, I think everybody will benefit.
Finally, the governor has said he would sign the legislation if it made it to his desk. Democrats are opposed to right to work. What do your Republican colleagues generally say about right to work? Are they generally supportive? And do you think legislation of this type will get to the governor's desk?
Mike, this is a marathon, not a sprint. I have colleagues every day coming up to me and asking me, what's the status of the bill? When are we going to drop it? When are we going to start debating it? And so forth. And so I think there's a growing interest within the House and Senate. I also cite for you that there's a tremendous growing interest across the state and grassroots agreeing that this is something that's the right time for Michigan. And I absolutely reject the premise that this has to result in a contentious situation in Michigan. That's a choice that some will make, and I hope they avoid that choice, but it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion, because I believe there's plenty of ways in which we can have both sides think they have the data and the facts to support their case. And I'm saying let's have an open, honest, and transparent debate over it. And I think we'll find, by the way, there's also some polling being done, comprehensive polling being done across the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's beginning to suggest that the tide has turned strongly in favor of Michigan becoming a labor freedom state. So I think there's plenty of momentum, and I'm anxious to get this process started and allow our governor, who I believe is true to his word, and allow him to have an opportunity to sign this and make Michigan mm-hmm. the first Great Lakes state that has labor freedom in it. And that is an opportunity for us not just to continue to chase our neighboring states and trying to keep up with them, but we can now leapfrog them.
Republican State Representative Mike Shirkey, thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome, sir. Thanks for calling.